Thank you. Good morning. Beautiful day to gather together to worship our Lord here in person and also joining us online. Because this is a day the Lord has made, we do have reason to rejoice and be glad in it. Would you consider yourself to be a shrewd individual? If so, is that a bad thing? It doesn't not have to be. In fact, the case could be made that we as Christians could be more shrewd as we live in this world. With that in mind, let us turn to the invocation for today on page 3 of our worship bulletin. God our Father, each day is a gift of your grace. Voices of praise.
Thank you, Voices of Praise, reminding us of an important truth. And that truth also serves as our school theme for this current school year.
We continue on the top of page 4. Guide our steps by the light of your word. Better than life is your love. Praise be to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Speak these words from Lamentations 3. This I call to mind.
And therefore I hope.
Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail.
They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
I say to myself,
the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him.
The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, though he brings grief, he will show compassion.
So great is his loving love.
For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men.
Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord.
Let us confess
our sins to the Lord. Almighty and merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep.
We have followed what we have devised and desired in our hearts. We have offended you and sinned against your holy law. We have done those things that we should not have done, and we have not done those things that we should have done. Have mercy on us, Lord. Spare us, forgive us, and restore us, according to your promises in Christ Jesus.
God, our merciful Father, has forgiven all our sins. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Redeemer and Savior. Jesus paid the penalty for our guilt by his death on the cross. And he has freed us from death by his resurrection from the grave. We have peace with God now and forever.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Let us give glory to God, our light and our life.
Let us worship him.
Let us pray. Lord God, you call us to work in your kingdom and leave no one standing idle. Help us to order our lives by your wisdom and to serve you in willing obedience. As we prepare our minds and hearts for the readings from Holy Scripture for this Sunday, we hear these words from Psalm 119. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens.
Your faithfulness continues to all generations. You establish the earth and it endures.
How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Amen to those words. A reading from Holy Scripture, the book of Genesis, the 14th chapter. Abraham gives credit where credit is due for the blessings and the opportunities in his life. A lesson for us too. Then the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, the king of Admah, the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar, marched out and drew up their battle lines in the valley of Siddim against Chedorlaomer, king of Elam. Tidal, king of Goyim, Amphrael, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, four kings against five. Now the valley of Siddim was full of tar pits, and when the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, some of the men fell into them, and the rest fled to the hills. The four kings seized all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food. Then they went away. They also carried off Abram's nephew Lot and his possessions, since he was living in Sodom. A man who had escaped came and reported this to Abram the Hebrew. Now Abram was living near the great trees of Mamre the Amorite, a brother of Eshcol and Aner, all of whom were allied with Abram. When Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he called out the 318 trained men born in his household and went in pursuit as far as Dan. During the night, Abram divided his men to attack them, and he routed them, pursuing them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. He recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and his possessions, together with the women and the other people. After Abram returned from defeating Chedorlaomer and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. The king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the people and keep the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "With raised hand I have sworn an oath to the Lord God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or the strap of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, 'I made Abram rich.' I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me, to Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them have their share." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
How can material possessions become a distraction for us while in this life? Something to consider and contemplate as we hear these words, a reading from Holy Scripture, 1 Timothy 6. Join with me, please, in the bold words. But godliness
with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that.
Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see.
To him be honor and might forever. Amen.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to stand as able for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Luke, the 16th chapter. What is your money working for? It still is working. What purpose is it working for? We hear these words. Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer. The manager said to himself, what shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 900 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 450. Then he asked the second, and how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord. Please be seated.
Now continue with our hymn of the day.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace. May it continue to be yours in abundance, and this is possible thanks to our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Scriptures this morning. We hear once again these words from 1 Timothy, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. To him be honor and might forever. Amen." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has made a great investment in us, an investment that comes with everlasting benefits. Is there an investment opportunity that you wish you could have back? And if so, what was that investment opportunity, and why do you wish you could have it back? Perhaps it was an investment opportunity that you could not see the potential, and so you did not take advantage of that opportunity, and now you're kicking yourself years later. Or maybe it was an investment opportunity that you did take advantage of, and you nearly lost your shirt because of it. Investments, opportunities to invest, they can be tricky, and they can be deceiving, because at first light, oftentimes, they sound so good. You know, you give me $1,000, and in a year, you're going to get $1 million back. Just give me the cash up front. Don't worry about who's asking for it. Just follow that fax. Those investment opportunities too often are not what they seem, so it makes sense that we can become cynical when true opportunities do come along. But because of the too many scams out there, we can become fearful, and we can miss out then on opportunities which could help increase our financial net worth. Thankfully, the most important investment opportunity, however, is not something that we can bring to the table, that we can bring about. Rather, it is the one that the Lord has made in each one of us. It cost him dearly, but it continues to pay dividends. With all the earthly markets depressing countless people, all the more reason and importance for us to keep our eyes on the Lord's investment strategy. And this leads to those words, contentment or bust. What does that mean exactly? Contentment or bust? Well, it means we are not living for the earthly gain. What is not gain for us? The love of money is not gain for us. Note the love of money. Money in and of itself is not the problem. God has allowed it that we can earn money, that we can be given money, and to use it for good purposes, to take care of our physical needs, to take care of the physical needs of others, to take care of spreading the gospel and so much more. Money in itself is not the problem. The problem, too often we see, even in our own hearts, is that love of money. That we think that if we just had a little bit more, we could be okay. And that thought process, while not wrong necessarily, can lead to many foolish and harmful decisions, including putting time for God on the back burner. God will understand, if I can just get a little bit more in my nest egg, I'll be set, and then I'll make time for God. Another reason why the love of money is not gain for us, what can happen too easily, and we see it happen in too many cases, is pride. When we do have money, we can get full of ourselves and forget where that money comes from. And so we need that reminder from Abram, who said, It's not from me. It's not from fellow human beings. It all really starts with God. But pride can get in the way of acknowledging where wealth comes from and how it is to be used. And when we talk about wealth, we're not talking about the billionaires. In a sense, all of us really are millionaires in our lifetime when we really think about what we make year after year and the insurance policies and the real estate that we have. I mean, we are wealthy people. But sure, there are wealthier people out there, and that can lead to another pitfall of jealousy. Why do they have so much and we don't? God must love them but doesn't love me, and I'm the one who comes to church. Satan's good at throwing pitfalls in front of us, isn't he? Whether we be the pride pitfall, look what I have done. I've built this business. I built this real estate empire. Well, you think you built, God can destroy in an instant. Hurricane Ian should be another reminder of that. It's not that God takes pleasure in such destruction. Or the other pitfall is jealousy. And the commandments then which apply specifically, but not limited to, the seventh commandment, right? Because we could be tempted then to steal what someone else has and make it mine. But that desire to steal is talked about in the ninth and tenth commandment where we covet. How can we scheme? I mean, it's not wrong to say, hey, that's an awesome truck. I would like to get a truck like that someday. What is wrong is I'm going to scheme, hey, let's play Texas Hold'em to get your truck in my driveway. And so that is not gain for us. That love of money and what it can lead to, which then really starts with not being content. Content with what the Lord provides us with. That doesn't mean we can't have new things. That doesn't mean we can't replace things. It's just that we don't look at those things as being the be-all, end-all. Again, if we have just a certain amount of money in the bank, then we'll be okay. If we just have a certain amount of investments, we'll be okay. Because what happens typically, the more we make, the more we spend. It's not the amount of income per se, it's what we do with the income that we have. It's what we do with the possessions that we have. That's what the Lord is driving at. Because too often, again, as we are discontent, what happens? We make foolish decisions. We might go for that investment opportunity that sounds a little iffy, but, you know, if you don't take a chance, well, there's taking a chance and then there's being foolish. And so how many foolish decisions have led to ruin? Ruined marriages, ruined relationships, ruined businesses, broken kneecaps, and more. And, worst of all, eternal damnation. What is not gained for us is that love of money and not being content. What also is not gained for us is forgetting our roots, forgetting where all things do come from. As the psalmist says, the earth is the Lord and everything in it. Job, when he lost everything, initially said, naked I came and naked I will depart, yet the name of the Lord be praised. He recognized what he was enabled to build up was not by his hand but by the Lord's. And we need to recognize that as well. To push down that sinful nature which says, look what my hands have done. Look what my brains have done. Well, who gave you your hands? Who gave you your brains? Who gave you the ability to work and to invest? It all comes from God first and foremost. So let us not forget each day to give thanks to our God, whose thankfully his mercies are fresh and new each and every day. Let us not forget to pursue godliness. Godliness is that deep reverence for God and for what He wants. The Word of God clearly spells out what it is that He wants for us, to love Him and to love one another. To be faithful to Him. to be content. Thus the Apostle Paul said, I've learned the secret of being content because by nature we are not content. Yet through the Word, through our connection to Jesus, we can learn what it is to be content. And we can learn what it is to not love money, but to use it to God's glory. For the purposes that he intended, to provide for our families physically, to provide for the welfare of others, to pay our taxes, and also to do mission work. So God help us pursue godliness. That is gain for us. And so contentment or bust looks like this: living for the spiritual gain, or else we'll bust. What that involves then, as Paul encouraged Timothy, so we can all be encouraged, fight the good fight of faith. Continually strengthen the faith that you have been given in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who thankfully has taken all our pride moments and all our jealousy moments and all our discontent moments and so much more to the cross, where he said, it is finished, those sins have been paid for, not to be held against you again, not so that you continually can be full of pride and jealousy and discontentment, but just the opposite. You have been given what you need to be free from those desires. And so fight that good fight of faith, because the sinful nature in us is a good swimmer. It awakens every day, but it can be squashed and is to be squashed every day by the Word made flesh, contemplating what he has done for you and for all, giving up his life that we might be reconciled with God now and forever. And as we strengthen our faith through God's Word, that prepares us for the pitfalls of life. Because we know the pitfalls happen financially. Right? Markets go up, markets go down. How foolish it is for us to think when the markets are going up, they're just going to keep on going up, because what do we know from history? Oh, we don't study history anymore. The markets go down. Same with real estate. And so what's the encouragement? Don't keep looking at that investment strategy every day. You'll drive yourself where you don't want to go. Be concerned, be smart, but finally, what do you have that earthly markets declining can't take away from you? The one thing needful, the eternal investment given you by God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But Satan doesn't want you to focus on that, so he's going to keep throwing those pitfalls. But the more we are in the Word, the more we can recognize what Satan is throwing at us as a distraction and hold on to the gift of eternal life that is ours through Jesus Christ. And so we live our lives each and every day with heaven in mind, because that could come at any time. Get a grip, Paul says, of that goal, of what has been attained for you through the merits of Jesus Christ. Yes, we can have things and are able to enjoy things in this world, but not at the price of or in the place of our faith. God help us then not lose the priority in our life. As Jesus pointed out in Matthew 6, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things then will be given to you as well. When we're hurrying and bustling here and there, all in a panic about the things of this world, take a deep breath. We're not dismissing what is going on around us. But remember who still is in control and what still is ours. We still are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And so let us encourage one another all the more in these truths. Let us set the example for our children so that they can set the example for their children. Leave a lasting legacy of how to be smart financially with the resources that God has given to us. Recognize where your possessions come from. That it's not about attaining more and more things or property or whatever it might be. You can do that, but may they know, your children and those around you know, that it's not building yourself up, but being good stewards of what God has given to you. Because down the road, those investments that you make can be used for physical good and for spiritual good. And the Lord reminds us of that. May we use what He provides for us to help people get into heaven. And we do that through our thank offerings. For through our thank offerings, we're able to send out missionaries throughout the world. We heard about a mission opportunity last week in Vietnam. God is good, opening doors. And through your gifts and the gifts of others, we are able to go through that door and share the gospel with more people. God, help us then glorify Him with all that He has given to us, or else we bust. Yes, watch the earthly markets, but don't get too depressed over where they're going. Keep it in perspective. Rather, and at the same time, keep your eyes in the investment which puts your life in proper perspective now and forever. Amen. Please stand.
The peace of knowledge transcends all
understanding. Guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our living Savior. Amen. We turn to page 10 for a confession of faith on the bottom of the page. We join,
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
What are we meaning to say with these words?
I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has followed me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in true faith.
In the same way He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith.
In His Christian church, He daily and fully forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, He will raise me and all the dead, and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ.
This is most certainly true. Please be seated as we continue with the singing of You Are God, We Praise You.
Thank you.
pray. Grant us, O Lord, to live each day in gladness and peace, without stumbling and without stain, that reaching the evenings victorious over all temptation, we may praise you, the eternal God. For you govern all things and are praised now and forever. Make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred,
let us sow love.
Where there is injury,
pardon.
Where there is doubt,
faith.
Where there is despair,
hope.
Where there is darkness,
light.
Where there is sadness,
joy.
O Lord, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love.
For it is the beginning that we receive, it is the pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is the dying that we are born to eternal life.
Dwell in our homes, O Lord, and let the trust of our families be centered in you alone, so that no difficulty, trial, or adversity rob us of the conviction that you are our helper in every time of need. Relieve the afflictions of the weary and the sick, and dry the tears of the troubled and sorrowful. Lead them to look to you as the unfailing spring of healing and hope.
Help us believe and trust in him, love and serve him, that in all our thoughts, words, and actions, we may manifest his spirit. Rebuke our selfishness and subdue our self-indulgence. Deepen our sympathies, strengthen our hope, and confirm us.
Lord, you love the cheerful giver, who with open heart and hand blesses freely as a river that refreshes all the land. Grant us then the grace of giving with a spirit large and true, that our life and all our living we may consecrate to you. Continue to watch over the coming and going of those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. And for those celebrating a wedding anniversary, renew the couple's love for each other as they reflect on the love you have for them. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior and Lord.
And we also pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Thank you.
O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. All God's people said. Bible study today, new Bible study taking place here in the church proper. A look at the Augsburg Confession handouts are available there in the entryway next to where you found the worship bulletins. Also, you can find them online. And then teens will be meeting up in the teen room, the gathering space. We'll be looking at the book of Romans. This afternoon, Jesus Cares will be taking place at 2 o'clock. We'll be meeting in the Multipurpose Center at 2 o'clock if you're interested in attending that worship service for Jesus Cares. And then later on today, 5:30-ish, 20s, 30s, we'll be meeting at the Multipurpose Center, and then we'll go from there with our evening plans. See the weekly news for the things that are going on here at church and school. We do have a school video today, but we have an announcement too.
Good morning. I kind of surprised PK here. I didn't let him know I wanted to speak after service this afternoon or this morning. I was asked to speak about October being Pastor Appreciation Month, and I was gladly happy to accept that responsibility. Pardon me for pausing here. This is a joy for me to be able to do, but I want to make sure I do it properly. I want to acknowledge the fact that Pastor Colander, or PK, better known as, and his wife Jenny, are very dedicated to our church here at St. Mark's. and everything that they do and offer for us, and the hours and time that they put in on a daily basis. I hope you all, you may or may not know, but I hope you realize how important that is and what they do and what a team they are together. Their love of Christ and how they show it and how they bring it to us is tremendous, and we want to make sure we acknowledge that on a regular basis to them. So I ask you to pray for them, to offer them strength, and just tell them, go up to them. They appreciate it, but make sure you acknowledge the fact that they both are dedicated to us here at St. Mark's. Not only here, I know PK does a lot of other stuff outside of St. Mark's, but nothing ever gets, nothing ever is missed here. Believe me, there is nothing ever that needs to be done. As a matter of fact, more things are getting done than they normally do with him and his leadership. And without Jenny's backing on that, he wouldn't be able to do that. So again, just pray for them. Acknowledge them and let us know, let them know that we appreciate them. I know I sure do. So thank you for your time, and we'll watch the school video now.
St. Mark's family, my name is Mr. Darren Vogt, and I have the privilege to serve as the principal of St. Mark's Lutheran School in Citrus Heights, California. Every quarter, it is part of my responsibility to give an update about the happenings of our school. A great way to reach as many people as possible is through a video like this. So, let's get started. We currently have 82 students enrolled in our junior kindergarten through eighth grade. God be praised, as we have seen continued growth in enrollment each year since the pandemic dramatically affected our enrollment. Please continue to pray for continued growth of our school and continue to go out into the community and share information about our school. Our school is off to a great start, as a lot has already happened. Our students have been working very hard this school year in the classroom. It is great to say that our classroom procedures are officially back to normal since before the pandemic. It is so great to have our students focus not on sickness and cleanliness routines, but rather being students and learning to do their best to their God-given abilities. Our volleyball teams just wrapped up their season this past week with tournaments on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We were blessed this year to have a co-ed 5th and 6th grade team and both a boys and girls 7th and 8th grade team. In fact, out of the 30 students enrolled in 5th through 8th grade, 26 of them participated in volleyball this season. It was wonderful to see our gym packed for our home games and everyone working together on the court. A big thank you to Coach Wall and Coach Castagnola for all their work this volleyball season. So what are some things we have to look forward to here at St. Mark's? For the first time since before COVID, field trips are officially back. This year, our students are going to be able to get off campus and learn at different remote locations in our community. This is always a great way for our students to take a break from the classroom learning and have a hands-on learning experience. Our 5th through 8th graders just attended their first field trip of the school year to the IMAX and the California Museum. This next week, the junior kindergarten and kindergarten will be going to a pumpkin patch. The 1st and 2nd grade will be going to see Frog and Toad at the B Street Theater. And the 3rd and 4th grade are having an on-campus field trip where some law enforcement speakers will be visiting their classroom to talk about crime scene investigations. We are excited once again to bring back the St. Mark's Youth Basketball League, or known as SMIBL. Registration for this kindergarten through second grade basketball league will open for St. Mark's students and members of our church on October 10th. This registration will then open to the public on October 24th. So if you intend on registering your kindergarten through second grader, please do so before we open to the public, as space is limited and we always sell out of spaces. If you have any questions about SMIBL, please reach out to Mr. Wall, our SMIBL coordinator. Then on October 20th, we are already at the end of our first quarter of the school year. This means that on October 21st, there will be no school and no extended day services available, as our staff will be having a development day. First quarter report cards will be coming home on October 24th. October 28th is a very busy day on our campus. First, we have our traditional end of the month Free Dress Friday and Dollar Donut Day. Then at 11 a.m., our students will be in a school assembly as the Safari Encounter Group will be teaching us about some animals. Any and all parents are welcome to this school assembly. Then we invite our school parents to stay and eat lunch with us in the multipurpose center right after our school assembly. Please bring your own lunch. Then later on that night, on October 28th, we will be hosting our annual Trunk or Treat event in the parking lot by the church and Rose Garden. If you are willing and able, we ask that you please register telling us that you are going to bring your car, decorated or not, and pass out candy to the many people of our community that come to this event. If you choose to decorate your vehicle, you automatically enter to win a prize, as the best decorated trunk will receive a brand new Amazon Fire HD 8 tablet. If you are not able to attend, but would like to still help out, we are looking for bags of candy to be donated to our school. This event is a huge recruitment opportunity, as many people from our community get to come to our campus and see what we are all about. Your help is greatly appreciated. Well, that's about all I have for you today, St. Mark's family. God's blessings to you all, and thank you for your generous support of our school. From all of us here at St. Mark's, remember, His mercies are new every morning.